Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank and praise the Lord for the opportunity of coming before you today. We thank the Lord that he has blessed us all together again. If you please be so kind as to bow your head for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for while we were yet sinners, you caused Christ, hallelujah, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, to die for us. Lord, we're asking that you might help us to have hearing ears and seeing eyes, that we can behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God. Help us to understand, Lord, that it's all about you and not about us. Help us to understand, Lord, that our real life is our hidden life in Christ and God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us to become vertical viewers. Hallelujah. That we can, Lord, walk in peace. Hallelujah. That passes the world's understanding. Hallelujah. While things come and things go, we realize that you remain the same and that our real life is in you. We ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Our real life is our hidden life in Christ and God. And when you see me coming, you know I'm coming to Ephesians and Colossians. So, reader, if you could start there. And you may say, Sister Karen, why do you keep beating us over the head with Ephesians and Colossians? You know, we want to grow in the knowledge of God. We want to grow in the knowledge of who we are in Christ. We want to see the world through the lens of vertical viewing and not be overcome by the horizontal view, the temporary, earthy, carnal view of life. That's where we get tossed to and fro by the wind and the waves. That's where we start sinking instead of walking on the water, above our principalities and powers and mights and our circumstances that are being influenced. We need to be able to have some peace. We need the peace of God, which passes understanding in these days. So if you could read, please, in Ephesians, I'd appreciate it. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 5 in the Greek, as well as the King James, please.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse, beginning with the third verse. Again, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ.
Hallelujah.
According as he hath chosen us in him before foundation of world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen. And the Greek, please. 3 to 5.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 in the interlinear Greek. Again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 in the interlinear Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, thee having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
Amen.
Verse 4, as he chose us in him before foundation of world to be us holy and unblemished before him, in love, predestinating us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Amen. And we'll follow that with Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10.
Amen. Now we'll go right to Colossians chapter 2, amen, verse 9 and 10. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Mm-hmm. Verse 10. And ye are in him, having been filled.
Amen.
Who is the head of all rule and authority.
Having been filled, when? In eternity, before the foundation of the world. That's where all the action is. It's from eternal viewing, from the eternal plane. And we need to get that. We need to understand that it is already done and we are completed in Christ in God. Today we are going to be concluding our document on eternally heavenly's viewing counteracts all the gloominess of earthly life's occurrences. We're going to conclude that document. And it reads, all earthly occurrences are perceived strictly by their impact on those affected by them. Faithfully, many of God's people link and analyze existence, physicality, but these evaluations are utterly the opposite of spirituality. As things are depicted in styles, forms, and contents as scenes of happening in everyday life, they are frequently interpreted as illogical when they are solely judged in their temporary expressions. However, things are consistently stabilized when they are comprehended in their actualized sphere in eternality. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about? We're talking about we see things in the matrix. They come in time. We see that horizontal view, but most of us think that's all there is, but it's not. The larger part of human evaluation eludes vague, unfavorable impressions because such strictly rely upon what is physical or seen rather than what are spiritual and the unseen. Hence, what many of us see and devoutly embrace motivate what we heedly, materially, as respond to what are essentially eternal intentions. In this spiritual emptiness, resolutions that God's people petition him for are unrecognizable because earthly evaluations only acquaint in reactionaryism to physical comprehensions. That's where we get into that earthly horizontal viewing. That's where we get into when we think what you see is what you get. What you see is what is real. And in actuality, we know that it's not. It's just an imaginary depiction, temporary in time. It is not the eternal, the real, as we sometimes call it. And sometimes we get confused. We're going to now start our document on page 7, the third paragraph of this document that we've started. And that's eternally heavenly viewing counteracts all the gloominess of earthly life's occurrences. What is humanly viewed in most instances are not as they appear in their bearings as the turning points of destinies. These purposeful testimonies express harshness of the depraved environment into which they have been flung, behaving in a whining, tearful, or self-pitying way in self-possessions. You know, why do we cry when things don't go our way? You know, because we get emotional, because we are, you know, seeped in physicality. We are seeped in thinking it's about us and not all about him. We think, what could we coulda, shoulda, woulda? You know, how could we have impacted a different outcome? You know, perhaps maybe we had the wrong confession or the wrong thinking. You know, we put it all on our shoulders when in actuality it is not about us. We need to stop saying, why me and what is this? But we need to think in terms of what is it for? How does it fit in to God's divine will and purpose for us? You know, we need to get into vertical viewing, looking beyond our circumstances, which are subject to change any minute. God's enablement of the weathering of the storms of life exact convictions that the sinfully depraved nature, foolishness, and weakness exhibited in time are not the reason for which something exists or for which it has been prepared or finished. Not about you. Various schemes are religiously claimed as the moral, social, and intellectual standards of engagements, contradicting one another and supposedly working out their implications. This essentially conflicts in the traditions of asceticism, strict self-denial, when annexed to synergism, human and God working together. Persistence on respect for human approvals through self-indulgences adorns creature braininess and human assumptions. Hence, money and privilege are the things that matter in the physical realm of social success. Unfortunately, it is all but impossible for humankind to harness such in favor of what is inherited much more in the spiritual realm. When you think of physicality versus spirituality, you think of worldly wealth versus spiritual blessings. Which one is the most important? Do you put your credence and all your trust in the things that you can see, feel, touch in the physical temporary realm? Are we looking beyond that to where the real action is in the spirit? Are we looking beyond that and seeing what God sees from vertical viewing? Are we seeing that we are completed in Christ? Are we seeing that our problems are and conflicts are already solved? Are we seeing that God is in control and sovereign of every area of our life? That's vertical viewing, and that's what we want you to get into. These are the sequences of memoirs that account for greater or lesser the conclusions displaying the joys and or sorrows significantly detailed in God's people's suffering. Did you know that Christians suffer? Did you know that becoming a Christian is not an outline for everything going right in your life? Did you know that as a Christian, you're going to experience bumps in the road? James says that we're to count it not strange when we fall into divers temptations and trials. Matter of fact, one translation I have says, welcome them as friends. This is an opportunity for you to show God's greatness in your life and to others. Oh, yeah, the storms come, but they don't last always. So when you're in the storm, hold on to the boat. You're going to make it to the other side. The uninformed extent of these reflections is what invokes subjections to the assorted carnal influences distributing such gross distortions. What such misperceives and is convincingly coaxed traditionally, but can never guarantee genuine joy, as such is unrecognizable in variations of dwellings and life's entanglements. In lieu of the enlightened heavenlies, itinerants, earthly-focused wanderings merely make the most of adverse occurrences. Scriptural analysis of life refutes secular illusions of physicality, as such are never illustrated in realistic content. See, you don't know the whole story. Comprehension of eternality is appropriate only in orderly and peaceful dialogues. Think about commercials. We had a commercial at one time that said, think Ford first. Yeah, and Ford has a better idea. Well, I'm telling you, think the Lord first. Think about Jesus first. When the dilemmas come, think about Christ. Don't think, what is this, but what is this for? And you think in terms of the vertical view, the eternal view. It's all about him and his divine will and purpose. It's all about him and his will for you as an individual. You're on this journey, but he's already mapped it out for you. So when you get to these bumps in the road, when these challenges come, don't be surprised. Think in terms of, what is God going to do next? How is this impacting God's testimony in my life? We need to have different type of thinking. That vertical viewing will get you out of the pity parties. It'll get you out of the doldrums of thinking that this is the end, when really it's just the beginning. It's the beginning of God working and moving in your life to fix that thing up and to present himself strong. Yes. All right. Adverse earthly physicality focally positions within unrelieved, brittle, and tangled forces, which are failing, unattractive, and unreliable surroundings. Physicality can't associate in the eternally abiding entities, in that such is likened to the convenient illusions echoed in the distortions which are fading in time. See, it comes to pass. That's why it comes. Secularity solely mimics allegorical purposes to recreate invent, and visually present persons, places, events, and actions pictured as decisively controlling humanly determined courses. That which is being described mirrors fiction as a form of actualized discourse. Human impressions exude distinct forms, each with its own expression of purpose and convictions. Human categorized summaries, dialogues, feelings, and thoughts and instructions insist on delivering modes for fiction, expositions, and transactions. Did you know it's not real? Did you know it's just a story? Do you know it's just an act in a play? It's temporary. It's not the real, real. Physicality is not real. What you see is not what you're getting. It's subject to change any minute. It's seen as fictionalized horizontal viewing. Think about Jesus feeding the 5,000. I sure like that story. You know, he had told them, come on, let's go to the other side. They had just been kind of persecuted for teaching that Jesus told them before Moses was, I am. So it kind of stirred up the folks. Then they go over there and people had flocked because he was healing the sick. See, sightseers, they all came out to see him. Then he tells them, it's getting late, feed the folks. The disciples said, how? You know, we don't have provisions. You know, they were on a mountainside. They wasn't in town. And he told them, he said, bring me what you have. And of course, they had gotten the lunch of this little boy. And he took the loaves, the five loaves and the few fishes. He broke the loaves. He broke the fishes. He handed it to the disciples. They started breaking and feeding and breaking and breaking and turning and passing. They end up with 12 baskets left over after they fed 5,000 men and the women and children. Now, how did that happen? Could they see that? Could the disciples see that outcome? Absolutely not. All they could see on the horizontal plane was that we're out here with all these folks. We don't have any provisions, and Jesus says, feed them. He said, feed them, because in the eternal view, it was a completed act in him already. It was already done. And that's how your life is. When you run into dilemmas in life, I didn't say if, I said when, because you're all going to have them. We all going to have something happening. When they come for God's glory. They come for God's testimony. They come for you to overcome. That's why they come. You all got that? It is not the end. Keep in mind, what you're seeing on the physical plane is the fictionalized view. Hallelujah. It's not the real, real. Yes, amen. Earthly life events glorify compilations engendering mere mortal dialogues, thoughts, summary scenes, and descriptions draped in human deficiencies. We don't have eagle eyes like the prophet Isaiah, who looked way down in the annals of time and saw the finished work of Christ. Didn't include us, though, but he saw it. We were hidden. The Gentiles were hidden. But he saw. We don't have that ability. But God already is there. He's already ahead of the curve. And we have to trust him for that. That's what walking by faith is about. Currently, there is no consensus of humankind regarding the number and composition of fiction and their uses for transmitting mental images of the particulars in uncharted courses. In concert with these dialogues, narrations, expositions, and other summarizations exhibited the most widely recognized fiction. These representations don't show evidence of anything more than their imagined amassing of bringing something to life by carefully arranging such to produce a desired effect. Inappropriate and ineffective, secularity defines courses as such are incorrectly devised to flow and draw attention to so-called human capabilities. When life occurs, and life occurs, instead of us thinking about him, we think about us. We take the spotlight off of him and the eternal and put it on us and the temporary players around us. Yeah, we start internalizing, thinking that we are moving and shaking, that we are shaping the course, that we, through our praying and fasting and speaking confessions of different things, that we are actually the cause to the effect, but we're not. It's way beyond you. It is ultimately in the vertical heavenly's eternal view rather than the horizontal earthy temporary view where physical images are not present, especially in the context of the former sphere. Considerably, such employs certain reliably realistic effects, but not in the exaggerated sentiments of suffering manipulated in irrelevant assessments noted as the abiding content. So what you're going through is temporary. In stark contrast, the more unequivocally positive sphere is orientated in its outstanding achievements in eternality. This is particularly in contents of who and what, as well as when, which subscribes the scrutiny of what is enjoyed in abiding securely. When you take the focus off of where you are physically and put the focus on who you are spiritually and what was wrought for you through the blood of Jesus in eternity, it makes the ride easy. Yeah, it makes the ride easy. The root of what is spiritually referenced in its appropriations of propriety yield great veracity as it exposes the frailness of fleshy misconceived territories supposedly describing physical living streams meandering through fields and rivers of healing and of everlasting rainbows. But these were never the actualized placements of them. There is no peace in the valley. Yeah, yeah. We think we're up on the mountain. The way is rough, and we're striving to get there. But you know, it's not about you. We need to learn to enter into the rest, realizing that God's got it, that it's not about you. And so when we teach that everything is going to be peaches and cream and that life is a bed of roses and that all you have to do is the five easy steps, all you got to do is send me some seed money. Yeah. All you got to, well, isn't that what we hear? Isn't that what we hear? Oh, come to the meeting, get in the $1,000 line. God going to bless you. Yeah. Yeah. Come on and buy this oil. Or this soap or this water or whatever the gimmick is, and you're going to be healed. Come and put this under your pillow and you're going to have peace and be able to sleep at night. We hear all of these gimmicks. We hear all of these things pertaining and focusing on the here and now. When in actuality, that's what it is. It's a pony show. It's a sideshow. It's something to quick fix. It's steeped in physicality, carnality, and temporary. What we want to do is flip the switch, realizing that the true blessings are the spiritual blessings, that blessings we read about in Ephesians 1 and 3. We are all blessed with all spiritual blessings where? In the heavenlies, in who? Christ. Your whole life is Christ. It's not about what's going on down here. It's all about him. Reader, could you please read 2 Timothy? And I gave you the scriptures. We're going to reference 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. And I'd like you to particularly read, after you've read those few verses in King James, read verse 9 in the Greek interlinear, please.
2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with the 8th verse.
Thank you.
Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Verse 9. But they shall proceed to no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
And verse 9 in the Greek interlinear, please.
In the Greek interlinear, verse 9. Not lie one to it. I'm sorry.
No, but not.
2 Timothy chapter 3. Uh-huh. Yes, I'm sorry. Verse 9. Having the mystery of the faith.
Wait, honey. But it reads, but not they will advance two more. For the folly of them very clear will be to all men, as also the of those became. That's some strong words. What happened here? Well, Paul was writing to Timothy, who had been raised by his grandmother and his mother. They were Jews, and they had been raised in Jewish traditions. And now they are coming into the knowledge of the grace of God and who they are in Christ. And Timothy is confused. Keep in mind, the Jews were sightseers. They were always looking for signs. And here Paul comes saying that the gospel of the grace of God is signless. And this was very challenging for him to teach and preach, because they had been so steeped in following signs and following wonders and looking for these things and building their faith and their trust in these temporary, earthy, carnal things. Now Paul flips the script and says, you've seen me persecuted. You've seen me hungry and naked and working and all the things that he was doing that was so different. He was not like the Pharisees coming into the temple with the long flowing robes and the riches and finery. He wasn't that. And so Timothy sometimes was looking, horizontal viewing, and now Paul is telling him, you gotta come higher. You gotta turn on where the real is. You've gotta see Christ and the finished, completed work. And that was kind of confusing for him. He was in kind of a turmoil. What did he do? He told him that only horizontal gives limited illumination. And it comes with no peace and no joy. Sometimes what goes on the horizontal plane will bring you temporary happiness. Temporary. Kind of like when you get that new car and you like that new car smell. Oh, yeah, but you hate that new car note that trails you for 6 and 7 years now. Yeah. You know, so it puts you in a different reality. And this is what he was telling him. He was telling him, when you follow Christ, when we are growing the knowledge of God and who we are in him, the things down here become dimmer and dimmer. And you realize this is not what it's really about. Think about it, guys. How many times you pick up the paper or you hear on the news or you see on television, people with great wealth have committed suicide. Why is that? Because the things do not satisfy. The things are temporary. It's a band-aid. The pain is still there. What's going on in their life, because they do not have hope in Christ. And the scripture tells you very plainly, if you do not have hope in Christ, you're what? Men most miserable. So, that's what he was dealing with Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:9 predicts the ultimate failure of such illusionary secular teaching in stating, but they shall not advance any further, for their senselessness will be evident to all. Yeah, they're going to be made an open show, as also was of those, referring to Moses. This reference is the perverse allusions ministered erroneously from God's word, as it focuses on the usage of the authoritative conjunction, but, by emphasizing limitation that such will not advance. Do you know that the period of name it and claim it and building both building great faith and 5 easy steps and everybody being healthy, wealthy, and wise, you know that's going to come to an end. You know it's running out. For me to say I can give $5 and God going to give me $250,000, that's not true. And that's going to be made an open show. Basically, it denotes to not make progress or proceed ahead, but it's not going any further. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. What you see, what you've heard, the perverted gospel, it's not going any further. It's going to end. The negative particle not, an indicative future, avows that factually such illusions will not ultimately prevail. Though these false impressions may seemingly prevail for a period, their advancement will not avail much further. This strengthens the conveyance that such will not advance much more or much further. Such will be eventually halted, for their senselessness will be evident to all. The noun senselessness is denoting lacking spiritual understanding. The word evident indeed denotes to clearly manifest perfectly or very obvious. You know, what I'm asking you to do is this. I'm asking you to set aside your old school thinking of how we were raised and how we were taught that it's about the here and now. That if you're you're a person of great faith, you're going to have wealth and health and all the rest of it, because that stops. That's erroneous. The real is the eternal invisible. It's the vertical view, and we have to concentrate on that. We have to get ourselves out the spotlight and realize it's all about God. Yes. Scripturally aligned truth affords what is solely in eternality. Secularity is concentrated in physicality's perception of happiness, boggled down solely for gratification in materiality. What is propagated in and of such allurements afford association simply with fleshy and aggrandizements. The pandering of secularity glamorizes the facade of wealth as the entitlement to earthly promised blissfulness. Such are draped in elaborate articulations, spoofed in scripturally inappropriate explanations. Depictions and stylistic inconsistencies are solely appropriated to subjects that are irrevocably consigned to falter in the terrain of time. Sadly, these are all influentially regarded as the grandiose authority of existence. It is by such illusion that the secular allurements exert commanding standards, constituting the misconstrued eternal view of physicality. There is no eternality in physicality. It all comes to pass. It is all temporary. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth below, because you are dead and your real life is your hidden life in Christ in God. 2 Corinthians, and can you read that, please, reader? 2 Corinthians 2 and 1. Read it in both, please. It's real short.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Mm-hmm. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:1 in the interlinear Greek. And I, coming to you, brothers, came not according to excellency of speech or of wisdom, announcing to you the testimony of God.
You know, when Paul went on Mars Hill and he saw statues and tributes to all of these different gods, and finally he got to one that didn't have anything there, the invisible. Isn't that what he said? He said, I come to talk to you about the unknown God, the invisible. And I'm coming to you right now talking to you about the invisible, which is the eternal real. And that's what we have to concentrate on. Paul didn't come in there trying to impress him because he was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. He didn't come in there trying to impress them because he was a Roman citizen. He had all of that. And many of you have degrees and finery and positions and power and wealth. But that all is temporary and leaving. It's passing. It's not the most important. Paul came to them with the simplicity of the cross and the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and who we are in Christ. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:1, and I, having appeared to you, brethren, appear not with superiority of discourse of wisdom, although he was a smart man, declaring to you the testimony or mystery of God. Here, having appeared, having made an appearance, or having made a presentation denotes the form of speech. Its aorist alliance, completed action connotation, as well as its complementary verb rendered appeared, conveys the manner and content utilized in the message. He came to them with a simple message, not something flowery and complicated, something very simple. And I'm requesting that you go to others with the simplicity of the message, that it is not about us, it's all about him. The simplicity of the message, that it's already done, it's completed in Christ and God, and that you turn the light off. The phrase "not with superiority" denotes the wisdom, delineates the practice of annexing human methodological authorizations for the purpose of authenticating secular knowledge construed as wisdom. See, it's not the wisdom of this world. This world is passing. And when you look at real knowledge, everything goes back to God. It all goes back to the word. It goes back to him. Thus, this verse confirms that such exploits are inadequate in declaring to you the testimony, the mystery of God. Accordingly, it is exclusively in comprehension of genuine spirituality that eternally heavenly's viewing counteracts all the gloominess of earthly life occurrences. Paul didn't come with a pony show and horse show. He didn't come with a sideshow. He didn't come with hocus pocus. He came with the simplicity of the gospel of the grace of God. The vertical, invisible view, the spiritual view of God's plan for your life is the only way to understand the entirety of God's plan for you. You got to get out of the spotlight and you got to look up. You got to be vertically viewing. Walk by faith, saints, and not by sight. Viewing life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through his plan of salvation should bring peace to your daily living. Walk by faith, saints, and not by sight. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank God. Walk by faith. And not by sight.